Hello, everybody, and welcome to Take the Black, a podcast dedicated to fantasy and science fiction, and especially the worlds of Westeros, Game of Thrones, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, House of the Dragon, and A Song of Ice and Fire. I am Daniel Roman, the editor of winteriscoming.net, and I am psyched, as always, to be here with Mark Nettles of House of Nettles. Mark, how you doing?
You know what? I'm doing great because I was sad for a little bit. I was feeling a little sick, and then I realized Knight of the Seven Kingdoms not there anymore for me. But then I like, hey, I got a little breath of fresh air, realized we got House of the Dragon season 3 coming up sooner than later, and I'm back in it.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like we traded a little bit with the sick stuff going on, because it was me a few weeks ago. But yeah, House of the Dragon, it's going to be here before we know it, right? June. We don't have an exact date, but June sometime. That's 2 months from now.
I'll just block off my whole month. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever time it gets here, we will be here for it. But yeah, I feel you though on missing A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I definitely, I need my Dunkin' Egg fix. I definitely am missing it. So watching the production closely, it'd be like, at least I can feel like maybe it's coming soon.
Yeah, and then we get this House of the Dragon, we could be like, oh man, I think Dunk's going to visit there maybe. We'll see all the overlap in our minds.
Yeah, right? Somebody can have a vision of Dunk and Egg. Yeah, totally. There's just this little bald kid when they get him on set. I don't know, but I like it. But yeah, so if you viewers, listeners, if you can't guess from the title of this show, we're going to be mostly talking some House of the Dragon stuff this week. Because, you know, we covered a lot of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms stuff last week. There's not really anything too new with A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms since then. You know, Dexter Saul Ansel went dressed as Egg to school for World Book Day. That was cute. But really, like, aside from that, and knowing that they're filming in Spain until around May 15th, we don't have anything new. So House of the Dragon, however, has a few new things. So, what do you say, Mark? Do we want to get into the speculation territory where we're going to live this week?
Hey, I'm on an iceberg and I'm ready to dive into the deep end of our thoughts.
All right. Yeah, so this episode, it's going to be a little bit more, you know, we don't have any official stuff, but there's been a bit of leaks. I don't know if it's like, you know, the production is starting to feel more and more like it's one of the ships on the Battle of the Gullet here, because stuff is leaking out. They've got holes in their hull, and we're getting new casting, weird casting rumors. We've seen some images of sets that we're going to look at shortly. So yeah, they're not keeping this thing airtight. Not at this point.
They got to give us little tidbits to keep us extra interested. We're coming up. We have this little lull between two Westerosi shows, and I'm like, hey, let's what do the people want? Let's give them a little taste of things happening.
Yeah. Do you think they leak anything intentionally with this?
100%.
Yeah.
There are leaks they do on purpose, and sometimes there are leaks they're like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, totally. And so, like, the first one could be that we don't, it's one of those anonymous source leaks. We don't know who the source is. It could be someone on the production, presumably is related to the production. The other one we know they didn't approve because it's from a YouTube video where the person got accosted by a security guard. So we know that one was not an official leak. But let's talk about this first one. So this is some casting news that went around that has had the internet fandoms of Westeros abuzz this week. So House of the Dragon is reportedly recasting a character for season 3, but it is a weird recast because the original cast member is still going to be on the show. So we're talking about Jaehaerah Targaryen.
That's everyone's favorite Targaryen,
right? Definitely the most prominent Targaryen in the show. That is, for those not keeping track of their Targaryen family trees, that is Helaena and Aegon II's daughter. Who is their one remaining kid in the show after Blood and Cheese, because Maelor the Missing, not in the show. So yeah, Jaehaerah Targaryen was played by a 3-year-old toddler in season 2. Apparently they have cast a 10-year-old to play Jaehaerah in season 3 named Pearl Clark. But the 3-year-old toddler will still be in the mix. So it's not really clear. The kind of Well, before I spit theories out, what do you think this means, Mark? Because people have all sorts of opinions about how this is House of the Dragon jumping the shark. And I just don't know if we know enough to make any sort of call like that.
I mean, I think it's interesting. If you told me they leaked this on purpose, I would 100% believe that, just because mm-hmm. of the fact it gets you talking, like, what's going on? I don't understand it. People complaining, people being like, I'm interested and can't wait to see, because it could be a number of things. One I was thinking about was maybe it's a voiceover and they need someone who can sound a little older, because how hard can it be to get a four-year-old to say a line that you really need him to?
Interesting. So it's just ADR. They were just like, we've got a line for this kid. We need someone who can say it convincingly.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we tried it on set. This isn't working. Let's get somebody a little older. Like, just make your voice sound a little higher than it is. ADR, possibly a crazy time jump in the middle of the season that we can say is only a year later, but maybe, you know, just so we can have an older actor in there for if someone does take the plot of the other child from Fire and Blood.
Yeah, so that I kind of want it to be ADR now, because that's just like, that would be so funny if the fans got so up in arms and so in a tizzy about this, and it was just like, no, they just needed someone to record over dub a line for this child.
It's like three lines, because how many lines does 4-year old have?
Man, I would love that. But yeah, I think the two most prominent theories I've seen going around are that there's some kind of time jump, because so we're gonna get into some Fire and Blood spoilers here a little bit, maybe not spoiling the whole thing, but like just to talk about who Jaehaera is, why she's relevant, why in theory she needs to stick around for a while. So I've seen people speculate that there's a time jump. We will need Jaehaera by the end of the show, unless it diverges massively from the book, which is totally possible. We need Jaehaera to be, you know, a kid. It's still around. She factors into the end of the Dance of the Dragons. As you mentioned, they are a kid short here in this adaptation, so it's not really clear if they're going to give Jaehaera some of Maelor's material or something like that. So there are questions about time jumps, about the aging. The other option, of course, is there's a vision of an older Jaehaera, because Helaena gets visions. We've already seen that be a thing, so I don't think that would be off-brand at all for the show. Like, they have, if anything, given more visions probably than any other, than Game of Thrones or A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. We're spending more time with that sort of stuff. We've got, you know, people like Alys Rivers. We had Daemon's whole Harrenhal arc, Helaena. So yeah, it could be a vision. Do you think vision or time skip? Which do you think is more likely?
I want to say a mini, mini time skip.
Okay.
Nothing too drastic. Just because I know, like, for those that big behind book Fire and Blood, the war happens over about two-ish years, a year and a half, 2 to 2 years.
It's not a super long period.
No, but already I think between season one by itself didn't seem like it happened over a long period of time. Maybe like a month-ish, maybe, based on how the characters were talking. What if they do like a mini time jump to possibly get that character a little older so they can do Maelor's plot? Maybe they do jump the shark a little bit, want to do their own thing, but they still want to include Maelor's plot, because that is a crazy thing that happens to that character in the book.
Yeah. I would be, you know, it would be a shame to lose. And this was one of the things with like George R. Martin kind of sharing his grief with House of the Dragon. He did mention the butterflies losing. So Maelor in the book, and we can spoil this because it's not, Maelor's not in the show.
Yeah.
He dies in the book at an event called Bitterbridge, which is basically like a mob gets him. And it's very sad. And it has a really sad impact on Helaena Targaryen. We now know, because George talked about this. So it's possible that Jaehaera is going to fill that void in some way or other, whether Helaena sees Jaehaera ultimately does not have a happy ending in the book. Like, she's relevant to the end of the Dance of the Dragons, but she doesn't get to live happily ever after either. So it's possible that Helaena sees some part of that, and that impacts the end of Helaena's story, which I'm expecting we'll see in season three. I think, you know, they've been foreshadowing what will happen with Helaena for a while. I think that's coming. A time skip would be interesting to me because, so we could talk about this a little bit with the next leak thing we're going to look at, but season three is starting with what was supposed to be the end of season two. So like the Battle of the Gullet and presumably the episode after the Battle of the Gullet were what was originally supposed to end the second season. And they had to push that back. And that makes me wonder if they had planned some sort of time skip for after that. So, right. So like,
oh yeah.
And like, so I'm going to spoil this little thing. It's in all of the marketing at this point. We've mentioned it on the podcast before, but essentially at some point, Rhaenyra Targaryen is going to get the Iron Throne. She's going to try to rule for a while. We're going to see how that goes for her. That is very much the arc this season is setting up. And I always thought that was going to be the end of season two. And it seems like that was maybe the plan because it happens right after the Battle of the Gullet. So I wonder if Rhaenyra is going to get the throne and then they're going to time skip so that it's like she has a little bit more time ruling. But even then, like we're talking about a 3-year-old becoming a 10-year-old. So it is I don't know how they would make it work.
Put that 10-year-old in some baggy clothes and they'll say she's six. Like, I'm like, okay, fantasy. Let's suspend our disbelief.
Totally. You're 10 playing six. We'll believe it.
Now, I do like the thought of there being that time skip, and because that does give us the opportunity to not only age up her character, but also age up Rhaenyra's two small children. Just a little bit. So now it's like, okay, now we can kind of flesh out their characters a little bit more. They can do a little bit more based on how they the arcs we need them to go on later on while they're in King's Landing.
Yeah, totally. And I think honestly, like, that's one of the things that was missing for me from season two, because season one had kind of a bunch of time skips. Like it was a story told over decades instead of like a few months. And I think season two leaned into this idea of, well, now there's a war on, now we're more like Game of Thrones. And I think that was to the show's detriment just a bit, because, you know, the time skips, the feeling of like, this is the crown, but in Westeros, that was something that made House of the Dragon unique from Game of Thrones. And I think something we saw with A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is it's good for these spinoffs to be different. Like fans seem to want them to not just be trying to copy exactly what Game of Thrones formula was. So I think House of the Dragon, like reclaiming a little bit of like the fluidity with the timeline, like I can get behind it. I would get behind it.
Very well said. Yeah. Especially maybe in that, like you said earlier, maybe that was the plan all along, to have that time skip in between seasons. And if they're able to pull it off and it all still makes sense, I'm like, hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah, totally. So related to that, do we want to talk about the next thing? Because I think we can work that into this idea of how they're doing what was essentially the end of season two here at the beginning of season three.
Yeah, yes.
So the other big leak that has gone around in the past few days, as we're recording this on a Thursday, somebody, it's the DJ Audit, I think is the name of the YouTube channel. They flew a drone over Leavesden Studio in the UK, where House of the Dragon was filming. Funnily enough, they thought they were getting like Harry Potter footage because there's like a bunch of Harry Potter signage on the front. So they're like, yeah. In the video, he like apologizes. He's like, I don't really know Harry Potter that well. I don't know what I'm looking at, but hopefully the internet can figure it out. And it's like, oh, these are a bunch of House of the Dragon sets. You know, there's like King's Landing and the Red Keep and the Weirwood Grove and King's Landing. So he got a bunch of this stuff. But one thing that he got that's, I think, is really interesting that we're going to put up on the screen here in a sec. Sorry, audio listeners, go look at YouTube. Is there's a shot that seems to be of Rook's Rest, the castle where there was the big battle with Vhagar. And we can speculate that this is Rook's Rest because there's a big old dragon neck right on the side of the castle laying out from the ruins of it. And it's missing a head. You can see that the head used to be there. And if you remember in season two, Maelys's head got paraded through King's Landing because Kristen Cole's an idiot. had pissed off everyone and set them against the Targaryens. So yeah, we're potentially going back to Rook's Rest in season three. Before we get into total Theoryville, like, what do you make of this shot?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, at first I was doubting. I'm like, is that really Maelys's body? Because I looked at the image, I looked at it fast. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a dragon's head. And then I'm like, oh, there is no head there. Oh, what dragon doesn't have a head? Oh, Maelys.
Yeah.
Oh, RIP to Rhaenys. We miss you forever. Our forever queen that never was.
Yeah.
It makes me interested to see what storylines are going to evolve them coming back near the castle and what other potential characters we are going to see. We know Maelys's body's there, and if Maelys is there, Sunfire, who they said was deceased during season two's body, is also there. So are we going to get to see where both those dragons are? Of course, we're seeing one dragon here, so that means there's another dragon nearby.
Yeah. And
if so, what other characters like are going to be needed to be there to make it even make sense? Like, why we're seeing these dead dragons?
Yeah, totally. So there are some theories going around about this. There are leaks. Whether they will pan out, we will see. There's this fan account called House the Dragons on Twitter that has had a decent track record with some leaks in the past few months. They called Lucy Boynton getting cast as Lady Rohan Weber like a month before the official announcement. So clearly they have some source that was right about that. Mm. So that what they posit with the plot line here is that Aegon the Second we last saw him in episode 8 of season 2, leaving King's Landing with Larys Strong. They snuck out while Allison tried to sell him out to Rhaenyra. She didn't realize it, but Aegon left because he was afraid of Aemon trying to kill him. And the theory is that Aegon's cart, or it's not a theory, the leak, is that Aegon's wagon he's in will get checked by House Staunton guards, which is the house that controls Rook's Rest, and they will find Aegon. He'll try to get away. He'll get captured and brought to Rook's Rest, right in the premiere of season 3. Now, obviously, we have to take that with a grain of salt. We don't have enough to go on to say that will definitely happen. But there are some. There's one shot in the teaser of Aegon stabbing somebody and fighting badly because he's really badly wounded and whatever. Next to the wagon. So it does look like it, something will go awry with his plan to leave on the wagon. But yeah, that's, you mentioned Sunfire. If anyone is going to be relevant to Rook's Rest, you would think it might be Aegon, because he just vanishes for a while in the book. We don't know where he goes. Sunfire's his dragon, and the show is really doing a fake out. They've been saying Sunfire is dying, but Sunfire's dead. I don't know that anyone really believed Sunfire was dead. Like, Sunfire has an important part to play. Like, he's going to be back.
Yeah, why would you not show, like, they showed us Meleys. We know Meleys, hey, you got to have a head on your body at the end of the day, but not show us really Sunfire. Like, we see them in that scene where Aegon's burnt to a crisp, laying between his dragon, but we're going to see Sunfire again.
Yeah, totally. So, I think, you know, the theory, and I kind of think this is, there's a decent chance this could pan out, is that Aegon might go to Rook's Rest, get brought to Rook's Rest by guards. And then how that crosses over with Sunfire, who knows? Because Sunfire in the book is left under guard by the Greens outside of Rook's Rest. And essentially he gets a lord from House Mouton, tries to kill Sunfire to get Rhaenyra's favor. It backfires, and then Sunfire disappears for a while. Sunfire leaves and kills this lord. So I don't know how the show will handle any of that. I think giving Aegon some small confirmation that Sunfire is alive, I could see happening. Where maybe it's not like, yes, they get a real reunion, but like, he sees Sunfire fly away. He hears Sunfire make a roar or something, you know, if he's nearby. That's my best guess. We could just see other people at Rook's Rest. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if we do see them share some type of other connection, just because, you know, in the novels, it's at least said that Aegon the Elder has a strong connection to his dragon Sunfire, and maybe they can now prove it, and maybe other people around him will be able to see it and be like, oh wow, they're still somehow have some crazy dragon bond. We're all like, oh, we're super amazed, and now everybody's team Aegon, go team Green.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that. I feel like Aegon, he was a real standout for me from the second season. I think Tom Glen Carney gave a really good performance as Aegon, and he had really good material. And like, we really didn't see much of him with Sunfire, but like, one of the few things we saw was like, you know, when he goes to the dragon pit and Sunfire gives him the little bump, and it's like, oh, they love each other. Like, we need more of this, you know, to show that bond. Because then you have like, you know, Aemond and Vhagar. Like, Vhagar's not giving nice little nudges like that. You know it. Like,
no, this is a transactional arrangement we have between Aemond and Vhagar.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I hope that pans out too. I would love to see, you know, Aegon is, I feel like, is going to have a really interesting story this season. And House of the Dragon, you know, they've had good luck when they do things that are really close to the book, like Rook's Rest, which is pretty close. Like, they added some things, they fleshed out some things, but like, more or less what happens there is more or less what happens in the book, or where they can just take total carte blanche. And I feel like Aegon is one of those instances where the book kind of gives permission for that, because he just vanishes. And then it's like, they're not just going to leave Tom Glen Carney off screen for a whole season. Like, they got to find something for him to do. And I hope that they find something good for him to do. So,
yeah, I don't want them to do like they did in season 2 with Otto Hightower. Like, he was great first episodes, and I'm like, where's he at?
Yeah. I think I read that part of the reason they did that with Otto was because he had a filming conflict elsewhere, So they didn't have the same schedule for Otto, for Rissaphon's, as they did for season one. But yeah, don't do that with Aegon, please. Don't do that with Otto either. Like, we need more Otto this season.
Yeah, we'll be disappointed if we don't. I did want to say one thing that I know it's a theory upon a theory, but if they do get caught trying to escape with Laerys and Aegon, I'll be very upset because Laerys is supposed to be playing a game within a game to escape a game. And you're gonna say this these random people just caught you? You didn't plan for that? Or did you want to get caught? Like, what's the plan here, Laerys?
That's a fair question. My thought was, because the theories all mention Aegon getting caught. The leaks mention Aegon getting caught. They don't mention anything about Laerys. There's one picture that looks like it could be Aegon at Rook's Rest that's going around. Laerys is not in it. So I do wonder if Aegon gets caught, if Laerys is the reason he gets out, or maybe it is Laerys's plan or something like that. Because, you know, Rook's Rest is in Green control at this point. So that's a little bit of a thing here. If Aegon's getting captured and brought to Rook's Rest, it's the Greens that are capturing him, presumably. So, you know, that there are questions that need to be answered with this, I think.
And maybe we could finally see Laerys be that agent of chaos we want him to be. And maybe he's just doing things. Maybe he's pretending to switch sides here or there, and we can see them very, very much so flesh out his storyline. That will need to be for this these next couple of arcs dealing with King's Landing.
So you know, we talked about Otto a second ago. I think Otto's probably somewhere in the Reach. Like, we don't know who has him. I think the main theory is like maybe House Beesbury, because House Beesbury, you know, loyal House Beesbury is taking up arms in the Reach because they're mad about, you know, the Beesbury who was on the small council who got killed in season one. Let's look at the other picture we have, which is there are a few of these that are going on. Like I said, you can find the drone video on YouTube if you want to. But this one, the theory I've seen for this is that this is Tumbleton. And I feel like that could be true because we know more or less that Tumbleton is going to feature next season. First question, do you think this is Tumbleton?
You know what? We have so few descriptions of most of these cities.
Totally.
Of the major cities that I think are going to come up, it's either going to be Tumbleton, maybe Bitterbridge. It'll be awesome to see the bridge between those two places. But we probably would spend, based on the story, more time in Tumbleton. So if you're going to build a whole elaborate set like this, most likely it's that city.
Yeah, totally. So Tumbleton, for people who haven't read the book, Tumbleton is an important location in the war. There are two main major battles that happen at Tumbleton, where the different factions kind of trade off a lot of casualties and who's controlling the town. There's a lot of drama, a lot of betrayal, some really important deaths, some dragon battles. Tumbleton is going to be a location we get used to for a minute. So I think you're right. If they're going to build an elaborate set like this, we can, you know, presumably it's not King's Landing because we've seen other King's Landing sets there. You know, we've seen the Red Keep on this lot. We've seen the Weirwood Grove. I do not recall seeing, you know, there are these fun little roofs on the right side of this picture that like almost look like a beehive or something. That kind of feels like the Reach to me. I feel like it could be Tumbleton. And I think either way, like, they've already started setting up Tumbleton. We got a mention of it in season two from Hugh Hammer's wife, Katz, who's her family lives in Tumbleton. So she wanted to go hide out there. So that's definitely a place that was already on their mind, the creative team behind the show last season. So yeah, my guess is this is Tumbleton, but whether it is or not, I think we're going to be seeing more of Tumbleton soon enough.
100%. And for people that don't know about it, if you're like, hey, how come, if it's that important, how come it was never mentioned if it's that big of a city? It never recovered. We're gonna find it. Tumbleton's still around, but it was never the same after the Dance of the Dragons. So
yeah,
it's definitely going to be interesting to see in person, like, well, not in person, but see visually how, why, also why I never recovered. Like, yeah. Okay, that makes sense why I went from just using these two cities I live near and went from Orlando all the way down to probably a Daytona Beach. Like, oh, what happened here?
Yeah, you know, there are a few spots like that this is kind of the season where some of these cities or towns that never recover from the Dance of the Dragons, the show kind of needs to put its money where its mouth is with some of these, because the other big one is Driftmark, which is still around in A Song of Ice and Fire, but it is much less prominent after some of the events that we're going to see early next season related to the Gullet, because it gets involved in that. Yeah, Drift, that's the one I'm dreading more than Tumbleton, honestly, because like, leave Corlys Velaryon's stuff alone. Like,
what do you mean it's not as prominent anymore? Like, well, this is a crazy war. It's a crazy civil war.
Yep. I don't want to spoil it too fully, but yeah, expect some heartbreak at Driftmark, some heartbreak at Tumbleton, probably. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, they built this big elaborate set, and I feel like House of the Dragon has been pretty thrifty with its sets in terms of like using them a lot and getting the most use out of them that it can. It's not a globe-trotting show in the way that Game of Thrones was. I feel like this is one major difference in the flavor of these shows. Like, Thrones did so much location shooting where they got, you know, Kit Harington out onto an iceberg in the middle of nowhere for scenes. Like, they, you know, Rose Leslie and Kit Harington for their cave scene, they like went and found this cave in Iceland and stuff like that. This show, they have a few sets that they really get a lot of use out of. They use more digital, like blue screen stuff to fill out some areas, not the same amount of location shooting. I wonder if we're going to see first Tumbleton this season, and maybe they hold back second Tumbleton for next season.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to start the next season. They're like, hey, we'll see what happened the first time, but like, whoa, see what happens the second time. We're like, double, because they have a lot to get to in terms of wide destruction of a lot of different castles and cities in Westeros. Besides Tumbleton twice, and of course, yeah, we're gonna see things happening, King's Landing, and and like you said, Driftmark as well. And hopefully we can see a little bit more of other castles, like in the Riverlands, at Harrenhal, yeah, see what's going on back up there.
Totally. Yeah, this is going to be a big season for Riverlands stuff. You know, Criston Cole, when we last saw him, he was kind of on the hunt for Daemon and Caraxes. And from the trailer, it looks like he's still on the hunt for Daemon and Caraxes. There are, I think, three big battles that happen in the Riverlands, mm-hmm, that we're going to at least see referenced. We don't know if they're going to combine some, but
off-screen battles.
off-screen battles. There's the Battle of the Red Fork, which is where the Lannisters were heading at the end of season two. There is the Fish Feed, which is a really, really brutal battle where an army gets caught against the God's Eye Lake, and then it's called the Fish Feed because they left a lot of dead stuff in the lake for the fish to eat. Oh, yeah. And the other one is the Butcher's Ball. So I think we're getting I expect that the material of all three of those is going to be covered this season. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen some hints that a certain actor whose character is involved in the Butcher's Ball is making their exit from the show this season. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot in season three.
It's going to be a lot of change. We're going to be like, we're going to probably look at season four. We're going to be like, now who's left now?
Yeah, totally. Totally. There are a few big things that, you know, season four is the one that scares me more than season three, honestly, just how they're going to fit all the stuff that I am anticipating being left, like the storming of the Dragon Pit, like the resolution of Rhaenyra's story, the battle over the God's Eye. I don't think there's any way that's happening this season. I think that's a season four thing. But we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Now, I do think it would be cool. Now you got me thinking all these thoughts in my head about Jaehaerys Targaryen, about could it be... depending where they want to end it, maybe we don't go too far in at the end of the Dance of the Dragons, and maybe that's why we maybe it is a time jump that Helena sees her daughter as that 10-year-old actress, and because we don't see that far ahead.
Oh man, so you think that's in terms of where the show ends, it's not gonna, because yeah, so for people who haven't read, there's like a very long extended epilogue essentially to the Dance of the Dragons. So yeah, you think what, they'll probably end it pretty soon after the end of the war.
Yeah, whoever's left on the Iron Throne, they're there, and where her character fits in, maybe we don't get enough of her arc. So okay, what if we just show you all a little bit right now before we see less of that character?
I could see that happening. I don't know that, you know, this story is a tragedy. We're gonna get a lot of tragic things by the end. I could see if they don't fulfill all the tiny little tragedies there at the end. Like I could see them doing the Hour of the Wolf and then setting up the regents and that resolution, and then just being like, we can kind of leave it there.
Yeah.
You can go read the book for the rest of the Targaryen history. But yeah, so we'll see. You know, there's we'll see in June. It's not that far away.
No, it's around the corner. I can see it on my calendar right now. I might turn it to June just so I can
yes, get there faster. Nice. So do you have anything else you want to talk about for House of the Dragon before we talk about how we're gonna stay sane from now until June?
Oh my goodness. Maybe another reread of Fire and Blood to get me ready. Get me emotionally ready for everything that's gonna happen. But in terms of House of the Dragon, I think I'm just ready for it to get here. I'm ready for more Westeros. I'm ready to overdose on all of dragons and knights and battles and princesses and all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I am definitely getting excited. I know House of the Dragon has had, feels like a poison chalice a little bit, just in terms of like, they dropped this trailer and Reddit started pretty immediately shitting on it. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of, House of the Dragon has to earn some fan goodwill back this season, I think. But like, I'm gonna watch the hell out of it. I'm excited. I want to see those dragons.
Well, we're also super fans.
That's true. Yeah, if we're turning our back on it, something's really wrong. But yeah, that's true. True enough. I think I might reread Fire and Blood before this season too. I only read the dance part before last season, and it's like now at this point, I you know, with all this talk of the Aegon the Conqueror movie and like the Knight of the Seven Kingdoms had that Trial of Seven, and I'm like, ah, oh man, I don't remember Maegor the Cruel that well, so maybe it's time.
So it's never a bad time.
yeah but so let's talk about some other stuff, because there are other fantasy sci-fi things out there, I guess. And maybe, you know, we talk about them here, we cover them on Winter's Coming. So like, let me ask you, what is it? It's March. It's the March of, people keep saying it's a fool's spring, and I'm like, nah, it's the cold snap's gonna be a fool's winter. We're in the spring now. So March, April, May, we've got a few months between now and House of the Dragon. Other shows, books, what are you doing to fill that time aside from rereading Fire and Blood?
Aside from that, I know I am super excited for April, so I'm gonna get maybe a little overlap with House of the Dragon, but the TV series is coming back on MGM Plus. It premieres April 19th, and we just had a trailer drop earlier this week for the upcoming season.
Oh nice. That's Harold Perrineau, right?
Yeah, Harold Perrineau, yes.
Yeah. What is that show about? Because I feel like I've heard people, everyone I've talked to who has seen it really likes it, but it's on MGM Plus, which means that not a lot of people have seen it.
No. I think you can watch if you got Prime, I think you maybe can get the first or second episode. If you watch the first 10 minutes of the first episode, you're gonna be like, oh, let me stick around.
But I will never understand why Prime has two streaming services. Like, what are you doing? Put them all on Prime. But so
many good shows over there. But yeah, if if you're interested maybe in watching from Super Good, essentially there is a town and you're like, oh, it's just like every other town, till you notice there are certain things kind of off. And then we come to find out that when you enter that town by driving your car, you can never leave. And people enter from all types of areas all across the United States. I don't know about Canada, Mexico, but at least in the United States, you're driving on a random highway. All of a sudden, a tree's in front of you on the ground. Soon as you turn around, you're stuck in a loop. You can drive through the town in two directions, but every time you get to the end, you just reset and then you're back at the beginning.
Oh, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because, you know, when I think of Harold Perrineau, I think of Lost. That, you know, there's plenty of other stuff I've seen him in. He's amazing. He's been in lots of stuff. But that's the one that I think of where he was also stranded in a place he couldn't get out of. So yeah, that's an interesting typecast there.
Obviously because the creator of Lost is the creator of From, so it's a full circle moment.
Which one?
I don't know off the top of my head. I gotta do my Google searches. But yeah, he
is... Okay, that checks out.
That's actually one of the reasons why Harold Perrineau agreed to the show, because also they told, he's like, hey, I need to know how the show's going to end or I'm not going to do it. So he only the creators, it's John Griffin, only the creator and Harold Perrineau and whoever else he told are the only ones that know what's going to happen at From. And we're on season 4. And there's not going to be any more than 5. So there's going to be one more season. It's going to be 5 total seasons. So
okay,
you can hop on now.
Yeah, it's a good time to. That's crazy that From has flown so far under the radar for so long that it's on its 4th season. And like, I feel like I've only really heard a lot about it in the past, like year and a half. But like, obviously, it has to have been on for a while, right?
Yeah, they were doing good at first about having it come out every year. Last year was the first year where it didn't come out. So, you know, it's been like a little year and a half-ish almost right now. But it's a good show. And the scary part, it's already scary. You can't leave the town. But also at nighttime, monsters shaped like people come out.
Okay.
To essentially kill you. They come All and right. kill you. Do they eat you? Not really. They just messed you up in horrible, horrible ways.
Okay. That's kind of cool. When you described this, it made me think of Silent Hill, going into the town and not being able to leave. So that kind of fits that vibe a little bit.
That's actually, and if you want to be protected, you need a talisman hanging on your door. So I got me mine right here.
Nice.
The monsters can't get it. Don't worry, guys. I'm safe.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's on MGM Plus. That premieres April, you said?
April 19th. They just released the date. If you're interested, the trailer for season 4 is out a lot. Harold Perrineau plays a character called Boyd Stevens. He's Sheriff Boyd Stevens in the town, and he has gone through a lot. And I don't think his character, the town's not going to see Boyd the same anymore.
Okay, that's intriguing. So yeah, if you have MGM Plus, maybe consider getting MGM Plus so you can watch this show.
All 10 of us are watching it.
Yeah, the one MGM Plus show that I liked that I think got canceled was Beacon 23. Have you seen that?
No, I remember hearing about it though. I've seen it on there.
Yeah, it's based on some short stories by Hugh Howie, who's the dude who wrote Silo. And it had Lena Headey from Game of Thrones. Like, it was really pretty solid. But MGM Plus, it just had no viewership. So I'm glad that From has fared better.
MGM has some pretty good shows on there. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Earth Abides, one season, sci-fi thriller. Robin Hood was a very good season 1.
Yeah. Sean Bean is in that, right?
Yes. He plays the sheriff. It's set up for a season 2. Are we going to get it? I'm not sure, but they've set everything up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, fingers crossed. We need more Sean Bean as the sheriff of Nottingham in the world.
Yeah.
the thing that I've been watching lately that is definitely going to hold me for a minute is One Piece. So the second season of the live action One Piece just came back this week. I've seen the first couple of episodes. That I also have been bouncing back and forth with the anime because that's just fun to kind of, you know, watch some of the live action and then compare it to what they did in the anime. The anime is just friggin' hilarious. It's got like just the best comedic timing. Have you been watching One Piece at all?
Yeah, I'm two episodes into season two. I'm all in on the live action. The anime is too long. I don't know what's happening. Yeah,
it's only 1,155 episodes or whatever. It's not an exaggeration.
No, I got behind in 2012 and I never recovered.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I'm watching like little tiny bits, like not enough to commit to like, I'm going to watch this through, but like when the mood strikes, like, sure, I'll watch a bunch of One Piece and it's a good time. And you know, it's a feel good show. It feels like a good follow up to A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Like it is a goofier show. I don't know that everyone who liked A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms would like One Piece.
Yeah, this is amped up.
100%. This is amped up. It's based on a manga and an anime, and it feels like it's based on a manga and an anime. But like in terms of the feel good nature of it, you know, Monkey D. Luffy with his pirate crew, like their big power is just like being good friends. I mean, he has actual powers, but like being a good dude is kind of the biggest of them. That's why everyone follows him and joins his crew and stuff. Cause he's just like, I won't force my help on you, but if you want my help, like, of course I'll help you.
100% in. He's like, I'm here for you, buddy. Like no matter what, as long as you're nice to me, I'm double nice to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So far One Piece has been a lot of fun. I'm right there with you. I'm on the third episode too. And I just can't wait to watch more of it. You know, it's Netflix, so you can binge it. But at the same time, I'm trying to savor it just a little bit to stretch out these long, cold weeks between now and House of the Dragon.
100%. Yeah. I've enjoy everybody in my household. We all watch the live action. So it's a good time. Like you said, it's a little over the top, but you definitely, you know, it's fun. It's just a fun show. Like if you just want to enjoy it and see people do these silly adventures and then have some serious moments where their friendship is tested, but you know it's all going to come together at the end. We got One Piece live action.
Yeah, totally. Totally. There are a bunch of other good shows coming up. I've been side-eyeing Outlander. It's on its last season. I'm like two seasons behind and I haven't been able to bring myself to get caught up, but maybe one of these days. The Boys season 5 drops next month. Yeah. That one, are you gonna be watching that?
Oh yeah. I gotta see what my man Billy the Butcher is gonna do.
Yeah. I mean, it's the final season. We have a few of these like final seasons. Like we got Stranger Things earlier. Now it's The Boys' turn. Silo's back for season 3 this summer. We know because Rebecca Ferguson just said it on the Today Show that it's this summer. So sorry, Apple PR reps, but we now have an idea. And that is not the last season, but it's the second to last season. And they just wrapped filming on the last season. So excited for that one too. Anything else coming up that you are for the next few months that you're looking forward to?
Well, Paradise season 2 on Hulu is out right now. Drops every Monday night. So they're on episode 5 just dropped this Monday that we're recording. So it's only 8 episodes in the season, but it's very good little sci-fi earth-ending catastrophes happening. A small portion of America made it to a bunker, and now we're seeing the fallout of that and seeing who survived. So that's a fun show to watch if you got Hulu.
Yeah. Between that and Silo, it's a big year for bunker stories. yeah, totally. I hadn't heard of that show. I did like, you know, I do like roundups each month of the new shows coming, and that was one where I came across and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty interesting. Have you been enjoying the second season so far?
Oh yeah. We've had characters doing heel turns, things happening. This is definitely an expansion of what happened in season 1. So I don't want to give too many spoilers if you haven't watched it, but we're exploring more things than the bunker this season.
Nice. I feel like that's the natural expansion for the bunker fiction. Silo kind of did that too. It was season 2 and they were like, all right, we're going beyond the bunker.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, cool.
That makes sense. We that's everything inside.
Yeah. So the other stuff, I guess I'm not really playing too many video games right now because I just don't have as much time as I used to before having a kid. But I do want to shout out a book that I just read and one that I'm about to read. So I read this book, The Last Contract of Isako by Fonda Lee. Have you read any Fonda Lee?
Mm.
Oh, man, she's so good. So she, her big famous series is The Greenbone Saga that starts with Jade City. This is a new book is a standalone sci-fi, kind of like a cyberpunk book about this. She's like a corporate fixer, Isako, who everything goes wrong for. And it's got a very bleak, good atmosphere. It's on a different planet, so it's not on Earth. And that comes out in May of this year. And yeah, I just devoured that book. It was so good. If you are missing like cyberpunk 2077 vibes in your life, this is a book you need to read. It's so good.
Oh, that sounds fun. I like that. It's always fun to hear people talk about books. It's like, wow, yeah. what are you reading?
Yeah, totally. The other one that I have on my list that's the next one that I'm hoping to get to is The Faith of Beasts, which is the new James S.A. Corey, the dudes who wrote The Expanse. That one's out in April, and I'm hyped for that. It's a different series.
Oh, okay. I was just about to ask, is that the same series? I know they ended Expanse, so this is just something completely new.
Totally, yeah. So it's called The Captives War, this series, and they started it, I think, I don't have the other one in this room right now, but The Mercy of Gods was the first one, and that it's essentially like an alien empire, bug type alien empire goes around conquering other sentient species and making them part of its empire, and it gets these humans who are on these distant planets, and so it's humanity getting conquered and then assimilated into this alien empire, and it's a very interesting, very different series than The Expanse, but it's supposed to be a trilogy. We'll see if they expand past that like they did with The Expanse.
It's in the title. <They're Yeah. gonna>
Totally. But yeah, the really good books. What about you? Have you been reading anything?
Yeah. I'm reading two books right now. I've never tried to do that before in my life because I always I got a hyperfixate. But
yeah, I hear that.
I'm reading the Scarlet Gospels by Clive Barker, and it's the sequel to Hellraiser or Pinhead. But I can't remember what he called the original novella now off the top of my head. I'm drawing a blank. But it's the sequel to that novella, direct sequel. So if you watch the first Pinhead movie, this is the sequel book. And it's a horror story. And I want to say Clive Barker is a sick man. the prologue, I'm like, oh my goodness, how is he doing this again? But I'm still reading it. I'm like halfway done with the book.
Nice.
Oh man, it has one of his long-term characters, Harry Damore, magician, paranormal detective, as he's trying to, you know, fighting hell essentially, and he had the title character Pinhead, which he doesn't like to be called. He prefers the name Help. Well, they're all Hell Priest, and he is one of them. So we got a Hell Priest, we got a paranormal detective, a bunch of craziness is ensuing, and now Harry's got to fight his way through hell.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And another book I'm reading is Ring Shout. I can't pronounce his name. Nice. By P. DeJelly Clark.
Yeah.
Great book, set in the early 1920s. Essentially, a group of young black women are fighting the Klan, who are monsters. They gotta be able to tell which one. Well, if you got the sight, you can see which ones are monsters and which ones are just people wearing white sheets. But sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. You can't really do. They all monsters at that point. So it's a cool horror story. I'm almost done with it, so I know there's a twist coming. I can't wait to get to it.
Yeah, totally. And that I've heard really good things about that book, Ring Shout. I think it won a bunch of awards.
Yeah, I want to say
it won the Nebula. Yes. Yeah, it won the Nebula and the Locus and the BFA for novella for 2021. So yeah, I mean, readers, what am I saying? We're on a podcast. Viewers, listeners, whoever you are who's hearing us say these things, that's definitely a book to add to your list if you haven't read it.
Yeah, I'm halfway in it, and I'm like, oh my, I'm like, this would make a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen? I don't know, but it should.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a movie we could use right now for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else? We have gone our typical nice long length. Any other media, anything you want to shout out?
Yeah. I want to shout out everyone that has to sit here and wait for House of the Dragon season 3. But as we just talked about, there is a lot of interesting things to watch, a lot of cool things to read. So hopefully some of those can get you to it until we can see some dragons again.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to leave it. That's the final word right there. So yeah, for everybody viewing and listening, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Take the Black. I'm Daniel Roman. He's Mark Nettles. And it's a pleasure, as always, to chat this stuff with you guys. So please like and subscribe if you on your podcast platform of choice. YouTube, we love you on YouTube. Spotify, wherever. We're there. And until next time, keep reading Fire and Blood. Keep, dreaming of House of the Dragon. And we'll talk to you more soon.